listening to the Marketing Happy Hour podcast, where we discuss career and industry insights with our peers in marketing.
We're here to talk about it all, like the ups and downs of working in social media,
how to build authentic relationships in the influencer and PR space,
managing a 9-to-5 and a side hustle at the same time,
how to be productive in your life and career without losing your sanity, and more.
Ultimately, we're here to build a community with you because we're all trying to navigate the world of marketing together.
Are you ready? Grab your favorite drink and join your hosts, Cassie and Erica, for this week's episode. Hi, Eric. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you ladies doing today?
Doing so well. Well, we're so excited to have you here today. I know you have some past connection with Cassie and some mutual friends there, so I'm excited to even learn about that myself. But before we get started, I do have an important question for you that we ask all of our guests, and that is, what is in your glass this, I guess it's morning when we're recording this, but what's in your glass now and what's usually in your glass during happy hour?
Yeah, during happy hour, it's definitely different than what are we right now? We're at 10:36 in the morning. right now it's boring. I used to be this horrible person that would drink soda every morning. And then I got over 40 and I realized I've got to change some things, not everything. And so I have some water with a Propel mix. And so that's this morning. If you catch me at 4 or 5 o'clock, oh man, it's probably a vodka tonic with a little bit of lime. We'll keep it simple.
Classic. Yeah. Cassie, what do you have?
So I have hot tea. I'm a little bit congested this morning. I spent the weekend at Universal, which is very ironic for this conversation. And I have a bit of a congested throat and nose. So sipping on some tea, hoping to feel better later today. But what about you, Erica?
I don't want to say it's boring coffee, but it's just regular old coffee this morning from my Nespresso. So, but typically, yeah, if I am out at a happy hour, I'm doing something vodka tonic, Negroni, Aperol Spritz along those lines. Right. That's my go-to.
Do y'all ever get any weird ones in this question?
We have before. It's not like coming to my mind right now, but we definitely have gotten some like interesting ones. I think more of like the adaptogenic cocktails that are out there these days. Like people will say,
I thought
like,
about just saying
that?
Milk.
We need to explore.
I thought about just milk. Saying milk. Oh my God. And just seeing what y'all do.
We have not gotten.
Oh my gosh.
We also have gotten Propel and water before. Yeah. So
all right. Well,
unique.
There you go.
Good.
Unique.
Happy to start with some originality.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Eric, as Erica said, we are very, very excited to have you on today. Lots of ties, I feel like, between our lives. I, back in the day, interviewed with Universal. I think I was trying to remember how far in the process I got. I think it was back in 2018. And I believe you and I chatted. I don't know how.
Well, it sounds like we made a mistake because we obviously didn't move forward. So that's on us.
A lot different. Yeah, my life would look a lot different right now. But it's really cool because we have lots of mutual connections. And we've had, I believe, some of your team members on the show, Michelle Westfall, Stephen Kubiak. So lots of cool connections there. So excited to learn from you and your experience, just diving from Universal to what you're doing today. So if you don't mind starting by just letting us know a little bit of a clue into your journey, what inspired you to transition from corporate America to launching your own business?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I'll try to keep this brief because I do this as well. And one of the first things I think about is, man, am I going to get that 3-minute answer about their entire life? And how can they make that interesting? So I'll try my best. I started out in sports radio a long, long time ago and ended up taking a job to come to EA Sports. And that's what brought me to Florida, still in Florida today. And there, that's where I discovered this idea of social media and marketing. I didn't know anything about marketing back then. This is 2006, 2007, when Facebook and Twitter was just becoming a thing and brands were trying to figure this out. And man, we were just out there testing. We were doing live streams on YouTube. We were doing stuff today that people think is popular. And back then, I don't think that it was really resonating as much as it is today. But learned a ton, went to Universal Parks and Resorts and spent almost 11 years building that brand. Started out managing their social and then built out a content enterprise. Started to get into the influencer. And so what I like to say when I was at Universal is, if it's fun, if it's engaging and it's marketing, that sits within our team. So we had a team called Content Engagement, who's Steven, a good friend of mine, who's still there, and Michelle, a good friend of mine, who's still there. They're still part of that team, stewarding that awesome brand forward. And the transition was interesting. You know, I spent a lot of time trying to build this content and innovation engine at Universal, And it was kind of a dream. And I think whenever I first talked about leaving, I said that I'm saying goodbye to my dream job. I used to tell people if I quit, there's gonna be a line out the door of people that want to do social and digital and content for, you know, Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And now they're about to open Epic. I can't take the marketer out of me from Universal. But I was missing this passion and purpose in my life. And I won't go too therapy on us, but it was a state. I was 41. I'm now 44. And I was just kind of trying to figure out, is this the long-term future for me? Is a corporate life? Is corporate the right fit for me? And it took me a long time to get there, and a lot of internal kind of looking to kind of see where is my purpose and my passion live. And ultimately I kind of landed that it just wasn't the right place where I could be my full self. Love corporate. It's perfect for a lot of people. I wasn't really wired like that. When I was able to be an entrepreneur in corporate America, it worked for me. But when things got a little tight, we stopped investing. Maybe it wasn't growing to the extent of what I thought we could do. And really, I think there was a point where I felt like the brand could be bolder and kind of stand for more. And I wanted to be a part of that. And I think they're doing an amazing job with building that brand. I think I just had a little bit more gas to the pedal than maybe the overall brand wanted to have. And, you know, they're not wrong. I'm not wrong. I think it was just time for a change. And so that kind of led me down this pathway of starting my own thing. And it all kind of connected for what I was trying to do at Universal and kind of now what we're trying to do with Maverick.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure Eric and I could both agree that that was kind of our stories too, of leaving the corporate world, jumping into our own thing. We felt like there was more that we could do, and we mm-hmm. had constraints around us, right? Just due mm-hmm. to regulations, the way that the business was ran, which there's a time and place for everything. And I think there's a lot to learn in corporate to apply to your own business, right? And that's super crucial. And that's actually one thing I want to ask you about is just all of the storytelling that you were able to develop back in Universal and how you're applying that today. You know, I'm curious what you would say is the importance of storytelling, and then what do you believe are the key elements of successful brand storytelling?
Man, I feel like we could do this for like 4 hours. You know, I really respect the idea about storytelling. I recently wrote a post that you're going to see on LinkedIn here in a few weeks. And it was talking about the fact that marketers are overusing the word storytelling, right? And they're kind of ruining the word storytelling, because at its core, storytelling is something that you do to invite people in to something that's interesting. It's something that's compelling. It puts them on the edge of their seat and they want to hear more. We all read books. We've all, watched things on YouTube, and you're like, and then we call all of this storytelling. It's not all storytelling. So when I think about storytelling, there's probably a couple of things that come to mind, especially from a brand perspective. Is it authentic? Is it original to you, right? Is there something unique about this story being for you? And does it really create some sort of connection? Does it spark some kind of emotion? And on the surface, those three things can kind of be kind of generic. But if you kind of lean down into each of those things, especially the emotional side, whether it be at Universal or at Maverick with the clients that we're talking to today, we're trying to think so much about what is the thing that is ownable for you and what is the thing that the audience is going to care about. That's ultimately what's going to drive that connection and what's going to help you become a brand storyteller. So there's a lot of different ways that I could open that up, but that's probably the fastest. I'd say authenticity, originality, and connection.
Yeah. Well, it's almost that question that we toss around a lot in marketing as well, that the consumer is asking, what's in it for me? Like, why does this mm-hmm. matter to me? How is it going to help me in my life? And how can I see myself in that story that you're building or this brand that you're building? And you kind mm-hmm. of touched on this a little bit, but how do you ensure that the content you create sparks conversations and builds audiences or builds that connection with the audience?
Yeah. I mean, I take a lot of things in marketing from my days in radio. You know, my job in radio is to make sure people come back to the show every single day from 3 to 6. So in that day, I've got to find a way to be interesting, compelling, entertaining, informative. These are all things that I had to do. And by the way, it's the same thing people do on CNN today, same thing people do on ESPN today, same things that people do on BuzzFeed, right? They're trying to do something that's going to build a relationship with you that you'll come back. And we all have those media outlets or those channels or those brands that we come back to. It ultimately comes back to that relationship. So in radio, I did it through entertaining content. And I don't think our job is that different in marketing. I believe our job is to find ways to create that entertainment and that compelling nature. And that's what's going to build the audience. We can be out there all the time creating content. But what are we doing that's driving people to go, man, I know, like, and love them. So I talk a lot about in Maverick and on my team about how are we building raving fans? How are we entertaining, connecting, and building raving fans? That's the journey. That's the process we're trying to take people on. And so that's ultimately how I kind of think about it, is way back in my radio days, is there's a very clean and easy understanding way of building audience. And I love the way people are doing it today. I'm learning so much more being out here out of the corporate world and just following people on LinkedIn and following creators. I know we're going to talk about creators here in a little bit, but man, there is so many new and different ways to build audience, and it's constantly innovating. And that's where I'm spending time. And that's where I'm spending a lot of effort, is to kind of just learn from other people rather than the groups that have done what I've done, which is build enterprise level groups, which is awesome too. It's just different.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you draw the parallel between radio and marketing, because I have heard a lot, especially from people on this show, of they wanted to start in, you know, journalism or something in that sphere, and then they transferred into, and those transferable skills transferred over with them into marketing, and that's how they're telling stories and they're showing up on camera, if that's what they had originally wanted to do with journalism, or they're writing and they're really exercising those passions that they originally thought would lead them into a career path in, you know, radio, journalism, whatever it is, into marketing. And that's so cool to see that journey and to hear you talk about that as well. I have a curious, you know, question for you. I would love to know what common mistakes brands are making when it comes to creating content.
How long do you have?
Right?
You know, this is one thing that I've loved. And I've loved stepping away from corporate and shining a light on some of the ways it's broken, right? You know, there's obviously a lot of layers. There's a lot of systems. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of kingdoms that executives are building inside of corporations, and all that stuff impacts creativity. All that stuff impacts speed, and all that stuff impacts that brand's ability to tell stories. So I'd say the biggest one for me is, I'm always kind of thinking, how can we get better at this? Is speed, agility, scrappiness, the ability to create more at scale. And so I'm constantly trying to, and I did this in corporate. Sometimes we succeeded, sometimes we didn't, but I'm trying to pull things out of the process that's slowing things down. And there's so many different parts of that. If you're a director of social somewhere versus a manager of social, you see that a little bit different. If you're a director of social somewhere, I'm thinking, how am I hiring great talent that can understand audience, channel, and creativity, and can literally turn that into an idea really fast and go make it? So I'm constantly trying to hire people that are like that. If you're a manager, and you're working in that environment, you're looking at it from a different perspective. You're looking at it from how many people are in my steps? You know, I got to talk to this person. I got to talk to that person. So that can be really limiting. So if you can find ways to pull things out of your process to create more speed and agility, you have to get there. We've all got to find a way to get there. And that's the hardest thing about corporate, and the most empowering thing about Maverick, and a lot of what we're trying to bring to clients today is how fast can we move? And that's not like, I think some people think that fast means reckless or not strategic. And, you know, I have a lot of conversations with people about, like, SNL does a lot of content every day and no one's ever written a brief. But they've hired really good writers and people that they understand how to connect with an audience. And so when you talk about, like, the radio standpoint, like, people in journalism, PR, radio, broadcast journalism, they've got a really great understanding of what makes a great story and what their brand needs to do to kind of bring that to life. And you need lots of those people.
Absolutely. Hanging on that thought too, what are some qualities that you can look for if you are a hiring manager or you're in that director of social position in the people that you're hiring to make them, you know, stand out amongst other candidates and will have that, you know, agility and ability to think fast and act fast?
Yeah. I'm going to give you two answers. One comes from a book. It's a Patrick Lencioni book. And he talks about the ideal team player is people that are humble, hungry, and smart. And I just love that combination. That's kind of a more general thing. On a more specific thing, when it comes to a social, digital, and content group, I look for makers, you know, and it obviously depends on what you're hiring for. But I talk a lot about people that are in the creator world today, the way they can come up with an idea and go and execute it. And it already has built-in strategy. It's got built-in understanding of channel and audience. And then when we come into kind of brand marketers, I feel like we're compartmentalized. You're a strategist. You're a designer. You're a photographer. And by the way, you need those areas of expertise as well to run businesses and to run teams. But I'm always looking for those hybrid people that can bring a little bit of everything to the table. But lean into creation. Because remember, the thing I told you before is scaling content creation is my goal. So I got to get people in here that understand what a great design looks like, understand what a great photo looks like on social, can pull together a quick edit, and can look at something and tell me why this isn't good and how we can make it better for digital and social. So those are the kind of things that I'm looking for.
Yeah, excellent answers. I would love to hear from you the role of authenticity and transparency in brand storytelling. Just going back to that for a moment, How do you ensure that your content maintains credibility and builds trust with your audience? That's huge. That's something that we are always asking about on the show.
I think it's a lot about brand purpose, first and foremost, knowing who you are, knowing why you exist. And this is like a bully pulpit for me, because we all have things on the wall that say who we are and what we stand for, but we don't live by that. We don't create content around that. We don't organize our structures based on that. We don't hire and fire based on that. And so really knowing who you are and living by it. I think of brands like Southwest. I think of brands like Zappos. I think of, one of my favorite to watch right now is the Savannah Bananas, and knowing that they are about entertaining first and fan first, right?
Love
those
them.
Two things drive, they drive everything in their whole business. So understanding who you are and what you stand for and making sure it bleeds through everything you're doing. The second one is who you're serving, right? It's on the radio side. It's my audience. If they're sports fans, what am I doing to entertain them and to create? So understanding what the needs and the wants of your customer are. If you understand your purpose and specifically who your customer is and what they want, then you try to paint a picture of what's authentic. You try to create stories that are then authentic. I will a lot of times talk about some of the best storytelling you can do is just put a camera on your customers and have them tell it, but not in like a gross, like testimonial way, like do like a little mini documentary about your customers, and watch what comes to life. There's no better authentic story from your brand than highlighting your customers. Or another one, we're working a lot with some internal comms right now. Highlight your team members, get their story. They're not just a nurse. They're also a mom and a coach. Tell the story about the mom and the coach. That's breeding authenticity. When you put the camera back on you as a business, that's taking away from authenticity. So those are just some different nuggets I think about when I think about how do you break open authenticity. But it's a word that's overused. But I've sit around in boardrooms and we're like looking at stuff and we're acting like it's entertaining. It's not. We're acting like it's authentic and it's not. I've heard people say it's ad funny or it's corporate funny. And it's like, what if we just do something that's actually funny? Or actually authentic to answer your question here. So,
Yeah, absolutely. It makes me think about a conversation we recently had with Jesse of Handcar, on the show. And he was talking about, drawing on your consumer and just extracting those stories, kind of similar to what you were speaking of. At Chaco, they highlighted one of their consumers. They brought her into the factory. They highlighted the whole story. Great. And it was just a great point of resonation with their audience, and just like people could connect to that story. So I definitely love that. And I love that you talked about team members too, because we also recently had on the show someone from Papa John's. Her name's Carson. She is the social media manager there. And they often work with their team members at their individual stores to pull those stories out and highlight their team members and use them in creative content and compensate them for that work.
That's awesome.
That's something that we've heard a lot of companies moving into. And so I love hearing that as well. But I'm thinking too, in addition to using or referencing employees and referencing your consumer, how can you work with creators a little bit to support that credibility and that authenticity and make that creator relationship authentic and not just a transaction?
Yeah. The creator and brand relationship has been an interesting thing. It was, in the beginning, there was this feeling like if we take money, we're a sellout from a creator. We're not there anymore, which is wonderful. And the audience never thought that to begin with, right? The brands were more concerned about that. But I think working with creators is such an important aspect for any marketing organization. You know, back when I was at Universal, we did some stuff. We were just starting to kind of scratch the beginning parts of what that can be. But I just think it's such a tremendous, it doesn't matter if you're like a sandwich shop and you've got people that come in regularly that have some sort of following, or maybe there's people in the area that are what you would call kind of the tastemakers, right? Go partner with them. You know, there's one thing that I think all brands should know is that creators are going to do things with your brand that you'll never be able to do internally. And so if you can give them a good brief or a good direction and let them go, and right now all the creators that listen to this can be like, come on, listen to this guy. Not because I'm a genius, but because I've worked with him. And they've all told me this, right? Just, you know, we had this, we worked with a creator who went on to do some really good things. I forget her name right now, but she ended up hosting a Netflix show. But she would do like choreographed dance and just did all these awesome things. And we gave her this job at Universal to talk about all the awesome things that you can eat around Universal Parks and Resorts. And she did this video and she called it the Hungry Dance. And it had this like sketch comedy in the beginning. And in the end of it, she ended up in one of our sound stages with like a 30 person choreographed dance. But it was because she ate something and she just had to have this like had to dance. It was the most insane idea ever. It got millions of views, right? She knows her audience better than we do. And we would never come up with that. So I think it's a significant, find the ones that matter to your business, first and foremost, because this is you're paying them or you're giving them access because there is a return on the business. So it's not all about fluff and content. It's got to be a reason. So do that first. But then partner with people that can reach people you can't reach and do things creatively with your brand that you can't do. And I think there's magic there. It really is.
Yeah. And I think too, whether it's talking about involving your team members in that content, especially guest-facing team members or those creators, they all have unique and different perspectives of your brand than you do as the leader of that department, for example, especially with guest-facing team members. I mean, they hear things, they hear what's trending within an area of your business or whatever that you may not hear unless you were to tap into that knowledge. Yeah. And so I think that's really important just to bring new ideas and new opportunities to your content that you would have never thought of before.
Yeah. Totally.
I want to hear too about just some trends that you're currently observing in the creative marketing industry. I know specifically if we were to talk about social, there's so many things happening on the social platforms. They're changing by the day. But just in general, what are some insights and trends that you're identifying that you're looking to tap into with your business here in the near future?
You know, there's I kind of mentioned earlier in the conversation about how when you get outside of a big brand, you start to learn from people that you would never learn from. And there's a guy online that I'm sure everybody knows now. His name's Justin Welch, and he's on LinkedIn, and I think he's kind of building things out on Twitter and Instagram. There's a few other guys that I follow, a podcast called My First Million, so Sam and Sean. I'm talking with their first name as if I know them, but I do not. But there's something really interesting that I'm following right now that's not new, but I'm just enjoying going deeper, and it's copywriting. I know that's going to sound boring and everyone just turned off their podcast. Cause there's definitely a lot of cool stuff, right? I'm loving vertical video right now. I'm loving to see how things can be, you know, edited quickly with things like CapCut. I'm learning things from creators every single day. I'm deep, deep into YouTube. I'm a big fan of a lot of things that are happening on YouTube. But as I've had to put the creator hat back on and less of kind of a team leader hat, and I've started creating my own podcast and my own newsletter and some social, I've leaned back into copywriting, and I've just been really enjoying learning how to make people click more, how to make people go down your feed, how to change your writing a little bit, how to make your writing a little bit more friendly. I heard something the other day that talked about the importance of your writing should kind of work at a fourth to sixth grade reading level. And I loved that. You know, people try to sound smart instead of just casual and informal. So I'm spending a lot of time on the different nuances of how I can get people to click like, to share things. And I think some of that's just gone, right? As we've kind of thought about all the content we got to create, we got to mass produce it, we got to post on every channel, we got to make sure it's different. It's it takes away from someone looking in the copy and being like, but is this going to make someone click more? Is this going to make someone keep scrolling? Is this going to make someone follow you? So getting kind of super tactical in those kind of things and just taking a moment as a creator, as a social media manager, as a digital marketer, to really look at what you're doing, whether it's headlines for email or captions for social, but really trying to think about what is going to drive that click. I don't know, that's not fun and sexy, but that's where I'm spending a little bit of time right now.
Yeah, it's so important. That's one of the first things I tell people, you know, young professionals that come to me, they're like, what can I do to build out my skill set? And I say, well, one of the first things is practice writing, get really, really good at copywriting, because it's something you'll use for everything. And you mentioned Justin Welch. Are you familiar with Ship 30 for 30? Have you heard of that brand before?
Yep, 30 for 30. Nuh-uh.
Yeah. Okay. So that's one to check out. And they create some amazing resources, specifically their newsletter is really awesome, but just how to write well for digital platforms. And they talk a lot about headlines and hooks and all of this stuff, but it's an amazing resource as well. So definitely check it out.
I love hooks. I the idea that there's something you can do with the English language that's going to, speaking of tools, Made to Stick is one of my favorite books. And it talks a lot about writing with mystery, right? And again, that's storytelling, right? When you set something up that makes someone want to read more, that's storytelling. And so, I'll have to check out Ship 30 for 30.
Yes, excellent. And I think there's also just an element there to what we're seeing as a trend with AI and AI being a resource, but also something that people are continually depending on for copywriting. And I think it goes back to, you know, honing those skills as marketers, as people ourselves will translate better to the audience than something generated by AI, because there's that human element. There's that human, cadence of how you're speaking to your audience. And there's that human learning aspect to how you can take some feedback from the copy that you have out there and apply that to the copy that you're going to create moving forward. And AI can do some of that, but I think there's definitely an element there of just like bringing that back into the human area or element too. So love that.
Totally agree.
But would love to end here just asking a question that we like to ask on every episode as well, which is what do you know now that you wish you knew a bit earlier on in your career? I'm sure you have a ton of these things floating around that you could say, but what's one that you would pass off to your younger self?
So, I mean, there's a lot of things that I've learned about social and digital marketing, and I could give some answers around that. There's things I've changed my mind on, like paid social. I probably wasn't as big a fan, poo-pooed it a lot, but now, I think it's such an important tool. But I think the biggest thing for me, and one of the reasons why I am sitting where I am today instead of in corporate, is I wanted to pursue purpose and passion. And for 15 years, I was running the wrong race. I was running the race of career, of status, of title, of logo on the front of my jersey, rather than what was pursuing kind of my heart, my faith, and my purpose. My biggest advice to someone is, because a lot of people, I think you've got a great listenership, and I think there's a lot of people that are growing in their social careers, and they're wanting to be at that big brand, or they're wanting to get that new job and that new title. And those are all great. But there's a point, if that's where you put your identity, that comes crashing down. And so just really, really take a minute and to know what's important. And I had to do that when I was 41. And I realized that Universal had become too high. My title had become too high. And I had to reposition myself and try to force myself to understand what's important. And it ultimately led to pursuing Maverick and building out Maverick. So that's what I'd say. And I talked to a lot of people about this. I talked to a lot of people that are unhappy in corporate. And my thing is, know who you are, know what you want, and put a plan together to get it. And if you don't know what you want, because that's where most people exist, that's fine. Take the time. Go take your lumps. Stay in a job you don't really like, or take a new job. That's fine. You're young. But when you start to know it, listen to that thing that's inside of you, Because it's the difference between a happy life or chasing someone else's life. And no one wants to do that. That got real serious, and that's, it's not really my MO, but that's the question. And so that's kind of where I'd land it.
It's such a great reminder though. And I think the biggest thing, at least for me personally, I start to go down that rabbit hole from social media and following people who make me feel like I'm not at a good place in my career. And so yeah. The biggest advice I tell people too, I'm like, get off social or unfollow those accounts that make you feel yeah. that way, because it can take a downturn very quickly. Yeah. And so set your environment up. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny though, because like some of those same people and some of those same things inspire you. So it's like, I'm getting inspired. I'm getting fed. And then all of a sudden you start kind of feeling down and you're like, why am I feeling down? And it's like, oh, you just stumbled into comparing yourself to them again. Right. And so I'm with you and I'm there too every single day. I think that's really good advice.
Yes. Accountability helps too. So
yeah.
Whatever you need to do to stay on the right track, stay in the right mindset. I know we have our moments where we start to go into a negative space, but just checking yourself occasionally and asking those key questions, just on your thoughts and why am I feeling this way? Why am I thinking this? Yeah. And, you know, moving forward from there, I think it's really important. Yeah. Great advice. Thank you for sharing that. But Eric, we are closing out here. Unfortunately, we'll have to have you back just to check in down the road. But in the meantime, we'd love to know where we can follow you online, you yeah. and Maverick. So if you don't mind yeah. sharing some of those digital channels with us.
Sure. So I'm usually the Eric Gray on everything. So you can find me on LinkedIn or Instagram is probably where I'm most active. I've kind of bailed on Twitter. I won't call it X. Sorry. And then Maverick is, we are Maverick Co. So you can find us on Instagram and we're about to kind of, I don't know when this is coming out, but hopefully when it comes out, you'll start to see more content. We're relaunching our podcast. We're relaunching our newsletter. So the podcast and the newsletter is all called Radical Content. So you can, you know, in the idea of radical content, similar to this, but we're really looking for really anyone. Entertainers, broadcasters, brand storytellers that are finding ways to entertain, connect, and build raving fans. And so if it's something you're interested in, great. But follow me on all those things. But this has been super fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This was so helpful and excited to stay in touch with you and see all of these new launches and things you guys have going on.
Awesome. Great. Thanks, ladies.
We are so excited to share that our first ever free marketing happy hour digital resource is now available. Download the Dream Career Game Plan today at marketinghappyhr.com/freebie. That's marketinghappyhr.com/freebie. This 5-step workbook will guide you through defining your goals, building your network, diversifying your skills, influencing where you're at, and investing in your growth. Cassie and I created this resource with marketing careers in mind, but the framework can be applied to any industry. Our hope is that this workbook will help you truly elevate your career, whether you're in the market for a new position or just looking to make your mark in your current organization. No matter where this resource finds you, we are cheering you on every step of the way. So go check it out at marketinghappyhr.com/freebie to download and make your career dreams come true.